Blog Talk Radio.
Broken in two pieces, maybe more, hey. And some nights I made my bed right on the floor. Woo! The enemy really tried to take me out, yes. Hit me with his best and knocked me down.
Hey, come on.
But after spending after all I've been through,
yes,
I survived it all and it's because of you.
I made it. I was thinking of a song that I could play at the beginning of the broadcast. Since we're finally back in the building, Annie and the brothers, the elders, the pastors, the reverends, we're back on Monday nights, y'all. Welcome back, and Happy New Year. Happy 2022. Wow, 2022. We made it, y'all. We made it. I know it's been a long time, but I am happy and very excited, blessed to be back here on God's Word to Man Radio. And Monday nights, if you're not familiar, is sort of like open mic night. And what do I mean by open mic? That means I give you, the listener, the opportunity to call in and voice your opinion about any topic that we are talking about. Sometimes the topic can be a little controversial, but it is still a Christian broadcast. And so we ask that if you do call in, that, you know, you maintain a level of respect, because things must be done in decency and in order. Amen? So we are back again here on God's Word to Man. Listen, by the way, if you want to call in, the number to do so is 323-870-3403. Again, that number is 323-870-3403. All right. We also have an email address. If you don't want to call in and you may have a question or a comment or a prayer request, you can give us, send us an email at godswordtoman.com. That's GODSWORD, the number 2MAN at gmail.com. I'm going to say it again for you. Godswordtoman at gmail.com. GODSWORD, the number 2MAN at gmail.com. We check that site periodically, and that email periodically, and we answer as soon as we can. We also have a social media presence on Facebook, God's Word to Man on Facebook. If you have a Facebook and you'd like to follow us there, please do. We post most of our broadcasts that we do on a daily basis on that page, so you can check there for any time and date, any topic, any subject matter that we come forth with, we put there. You just have to find us, search for us on Facebook, God's Word to Man, the Bible with the sun shining down on the Bible. That's our picture there. God bless you. God bless you, each and every one of you, and thank you for joining us today. Our topic today is the COVID crisis. The COVID crisis. We're going to discuss today COVID COVID-19, of course, and the different variants that are out there. And we also want to discuss vaccine mandates, and that seems to be the topic in the news today. I wanted to also tackle church attendance. And as always, if you've ever followed us on a Monday night or listened in on a Monday night, I'm pretty much never by myself. And I'm glad, because I don't trust myself to be on here alone. I'll just keep talking and talking and talking and talking. I'll talk your ear off. So we need others to chime in with different levels of wisdom and maturation in the Lord, you know, different a number of years, amen, in the ministry. They bring a different outlook, a perspective, what have you, on the different topics. And tonight is no different. I have my brother on. He's my biological brother as well, but he is also my pastor, and his name is the Reverend Joseph C. Murphy, Sr. God bless you, Rev. How are you today?
I'm blessed, Brother Manny. God bless you. How are you? Glad to be on. Glad to be back. Amen.
Man, I was just telling the people that, Rev. It's been a long time, but we're back, and we're telling the people Happy New Year, and we're going to hit the ground running. Amen.
Amen.
How have you been today?
Wonderful. No complaints whatsoever, sir.
Good. Well, again, the number to call in with your opinion or question or comment or prayer request is 323-870-3403. That number again is 323-870-3403. Rev, I just want to break us into it, the COVID crisis. Are we still in a crisis? Or do you think we're starting to turn the corner? No, I was just going to say, do you think we're starting to turn the corner?
Well, to me, it just depends on where you're talking about. There's actually some places in the world, not necessarily the United States, even though at the level of the United States, there's some states that are doing better than others, obviously. But there's some places in the world who actually have turned the corner. And it has peaked. Even the latest variant has kind of started to taper off. So I would just answer that by saying it just depends on what part of the world that you're living in right now, and to bring it home, what city and state you really live in as to the degree of whether it's tapering off where you are or are not. But I will say this, that if you lived in this world, and I'm 54, maybe 5 days, 6 days, I'll be 55, and I've lived here long enough to understand this, that there's always going to be something going on, and there's always going to be a potential for things that's going to challenge not only our safety but our health. And so I also add this, that even once COVID has completely disappeared, we better believe and know that there's something else that's going to be on the horizon. And so I don't think we should be so inundated with whether it's leaving or not leaving, more so than we should be finding ourselves in a place where we can hear from God and receive direction from God on how to proceed, even if it's not over in the near future or whatever else is on the horizon to happen. Our focus is not going to need to be on the incident or the prognosis of the future, but our faith and our dependency is going to need to be on God so that he can lead us through no matter what happens moving forward.
Amen. I'm glad that you mentioned faith. And just moving forward, no matter the level of seriousness of the, maybe the word is if it's contagious or if it's starting to the number of cases are starting to increase or decrease, whatever the situation may be. I'm glad you mentioned faith, because the church world has been kind of getting a lot of flack for their response to COVID overall. Some ministries, they may believe, hey, we're just going to get the vaccine and we're going to start meeting again and that's it. And then you have some that, you know, speak against the vaccine and say, you know, hey, no, God made our bodies to, you know, be able to handle viruses. And if it's God's will and he heal us, then that's fine. If it's not, we're not taking the vaccine. There's a variety of stances on whether or not this is a plague from God, or if this is a plague from the devil and God is allowing it. There's so much, you know, thought process out there about this, and it's just so confusing. It's confusing to some church folks. So I can't imagine, you know, the thought process with some non-believers of what's going on with this COVID crisis and how we all thought it would be over by now, but they're coming up with these variants and these other, you know, viruses, you know. And so now they've created vaccines for everything now. But we'll get to the vaccines in a minute. But I want your response on the faith portion. Should we just be stepping out on faith, praise God, as it pertains to these viruses and taking care of our bodies and just allowing what God has given us in our bodies, a strong immune system, to take care of it? Or should we be looking to modern medicine and science to aid in eradicating this plague?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, Brother Manny. And you're right. There is, unfortunately, an amount of confusion within the body of Christ about what is faith and what is not faith. And this is why I kind of answered the first question with having us to understand that we must get in a place where we can hear from God for ourselves. And the reason why I say that is this. I'm not going to knock somebody who genuinely says from their heart that God has told them that they're okay if they don't take the vaccine. And if they really believe that God has told them not to take the vaccine, then I stand with them in that belief if that's what they're saying God has said to them. But if I'm a person of faith and I believe God said or released me to get the vaccine, then me getting the vaccine, contrary to popular belief, is not an acknowledgement of me having weak or insufficient faith. In fact, it's just the opposite, because when we look at biblical faith, what faith has always been and will always be is something that is proven in action. And even with our healing, many times people say, well, if you believe that God is going to heal you, then your belief that God is going to heal you of whatever disease, sickness, illness that you may possess, your belief that he's going to do that is enough. And I submit that the scripture teaches us that we must partner in with our healing. You cannot simply be a diabetic and say, God, heal me of diabetes, which now, don't get me wrong, God can certainly do it, but then you cannot continue to eat things that feed your diabetes. When you correct your diet, when you exercise, that's called partnering in with your healing. That's called putting your faith into actions. I believe it's the book of James where it says that that faith without works is dead. And so, in other words, if I believe that God is going to keep me in this pandemic, I can also further believe that the vaccine is an avenue by which for God to do that. If I believe that God is telling me to get the vaccine or the booster or whatever it may have you, But that doesn't say I have weak faith. It just doesn't. And so I think that we need to stop on both sides making a dogmatic statement that says if you get the vaccination, your faith is weak, or if you don't get the vaccination, you don't have faith at all. The truth of the matter is I fully believe that our government is as crooked as the letter S, Brother Manny. And I get those that and I get those that say, well, you know, they're using this vaccine as a means to do this and to do that. But yet some of the same people that say that are walking around with chips in their credit cards. So I'm confused. It's the same concept. It's the same layout of lulling people to sleep with the technology that's going to eventually lead us to the day of one world system. But I don't see people cutting up their credit cards. I don't see people, you know, getting rid of the chips, out, like I said, out of their credit cards or doing some other things. And so the truth of the matter is, yes, the government is corrupt. We live in a capitalistic society. That's going to put us in a place of a level of corruption that some of us don't even want to know about. But to simply draw a hard line and to tell someone that their faith is not there because they went and got a vaccine or even just the opposite is not correct. We need to know as individuals what God is saying to us as individuals, and then the church needs to lead in setting the example of what listening to God looks like, not listening to CNBC, Fox, CNN, you know, what is God saying? And the church needs to stop being political first and be Christian first and let God be take the head on this and we be the example for the world.
Amen. Amen. I totally agree with you, Rev. And as I said, listen, we have normally a couple of different voices on God's Word to Man broadcast when we have Monday nights like this, because I think it's good that we hear different perspectives on it. And just now you were hearing a response from Pastor Joseph C. Murphy of the Caring Church, Caring Church of Memphis. And I'm going to go ahead and bring my other brother on, Brother Tom Lyons of the Feet Church in Minneapolis. Brother Tom, are you there?
I'm here. I'm here. God bless you guys.
God bless you.
God bless you, Brother Tom. And, how are you today?
God bless you guys. God bless you. I'm doing well.
That's good, bro. That's good.
Doing well. Just heard those great comments by my twin. And yeah. Brother Murphy, you want me to respond?
Yes, sir. I had you listening in there, and I wanted to kind of we're starting off talking about the COVID and talking about, you know, the level of faith that is talked about in either, you know, stands, whether you are having faith that, you know, God is going to heal you of COVID and you don't need a vaccine, or you getting the vaccine and standing on God's word saying that it's not going to harm you, but that it's going to work out for your good. It's going to do good for you and help you in this fight against this virus. There's two different, well, there's various opinions out there. I was wondering, like, what your opinion or stance of, not just if you think, you know, the vaccine, you know, people should get the vaccine, but just speaking to the level of faith, you know, of the members in the church and what you're teaching, you know, as far as believing or not believing.
Well, you know, fortunately, I planted at the beginning of the pandemic. and so we've had very few large physical meetings, you know, and I just have to echo my brother. It's a thin line between love and hate, and I'm not talking H-Town here. you know,
that's pretty good, twin.
I'm talking about the gospel, and you know, and I think part of our problem in the church right now is that we've allowed politics to infiltrate the church. And
amen.
The issue with that is that God's word is above every nation. There's no nation that can go above God's word. And there's nations
amen.
That have laws. And one of the confusions about the United States of America is that that we are a Christian country. That's just not true.
Mm-hmm.
The United States was not even founded as a Christian country. It had a lot of Christians
uh-huh.
in it. But in the founding documents of the United States, there written was the freedom of religion. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, you have a lot of falsehood, and there's political alignments, and there's a lot of narratives and narrators.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say that when we speak as the leaders of the Church of God, of
yes.
His church, and with representatives of Jesus Christ, we've got to be cautious and careful what we say to the people of God. We've got to watch dogmatic behavior. We've got to watch foolish, you know, buying into foolish narratives and things of that nature,
amen.
Conspiracy theorists and things of that nature. You know,
it,
as my brother said, it is not a lack of faith for somebody to get vaccinated.
Yes.
It is not a lack of faith. It's also,
mm-hmm.
You know, at an individual level, people make choices.
Amen.
And as leaders, we must preach the truth. I just want to give you guys one Bible reference, because I believe the word guides us in all things.
Amen.
Do you guys remember the story of Naaman in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, Naaman was sick with leprosy, incurable disease, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And God uses the prophet to just simply tell him to dip in Jordan seven times. And Naaman was confused as all outdoors. Why would I go dip in the dirty water in order for God to heal me? We don't know
That's
what
right.
avenue by which God would cause us to beat the coronavirus. What we do know is that when we look at the Omicron virus right now, well, let me go back quickly and say this. What we do know is that thousands of preachers have died. Thousands.
Mm-hmm.
Refusing to take the virus, the
mm-hmm.
refusing to take the vaccine. Thousands, literally, thousands of
mm-hmm.
pastors. There was a pastor in Jacksonville, Florida, won't call his name. He stood over the pulpit, condemned the vaccine, told the people they shouldn't be taking it and they didn't have faith. A week and a half later, he died from the coronavirus vaccine. I just think we just need to use the wisdom of God. I really do. I believe that we need to use the wisdom of God. And we need to just ask him what we should be saying, how we should be leading, you know, and not let politics get in the way of what the church decides to say or do. I truly believe that God uses the hands of scientists. He uses the hands of doctors. He gives them this wisdom, and I believe that although there's a lot of crookedness and a lot of things left and right, there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there that are coming from pulpits, and if you ask me, that's irresponsible, and that's all I'm going to say.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen, brother. Go ahead, Rev. You want to respond again?
Yeah, first of all, I always like when me and my twin agree and on the same page. And even when we don't agree, it's usually because he's just wrong and I'm right. So that's just how that is, you know. But no, I love everything he just said. And the reason I say is this. When I listen to some of the conversations, like Brother Manny, I'm not just saying this because you're my brother, but you are one of the few people that I have had an intelligent conversation with about whether to take or not take the virus. But everybody else I've talked to, in particular one of my coworkers, who is a professing Christian, he didn't cite anything other than the conspiracy of the government about why he wasn't going to take the virus, but because in order for him to work here at the job, he had to get vaccinated, so he went ahead and got vaccinated because of that fact. And so I just began to ask him, because Brother Manny, I'm like you, and I'm like Brother Tom. I'm a person of about facts, right? Faith and facts should actually line up, right? Not contradict each other. They should actually line up. And so the truth of the matter is this, that more people, the people who have died, the people that died were people who were, the majority were people who were not vaccinated. Of the people that have survived are people that were vaccinated. Now, no, there's not a promise that you will not get the virus after you've been vaccinated, but there's statistics that have been proven that those who have been infected after vaccination have not even come nearly as close to being as sick, let alone dying. And so when we begin to look at those facts, that's why I agree with Brother Tom, my coworker that I make reference to. When I asked him, I said, well, who are you? He said, I'm a patriot. And I told him, I said, sir, you cannot be a patriot before you're a Christian. How does that work?
Amen.
But the truth is, like Brother Tom said, we have more people of supposed faith within the body of Christ who have take a political stance before their Christian response. And so if we can't get it right as the body of Christ, how are we going to guide the world into how to respond as this is going? Brother Manny, I heard you bring up the suggestion of did God create this coronavirus, and did he put this upon the world? And the truth of the matter is, it is a proven fact that this was created in a lab in China and that this comes from there. And here's the thing. Just like China's creating things, the United States government is creating things as well. But did God allow it to happen? Did God allow it to happen? Yes, he allowed it, because God can take anything and get the glory out of it. And so the one thing I saw God, and the reason why I don't believe God has allowed it to lift yet, is because I don't believe the body of Christ as a whole, or even the majority of us, have even gotten it right yet, meaning this. How many of us have gone back to the old landmark? How many of us have gotten back to a place where we're in full relationship with God? For Pete's sake, how many churches can we point to that don't even have prayer in the church? So forget about prayer being out of school. Forget about prayer not being in a home. We don't even have prayer in church. We don't even evangelize the communities. And so I think God is trying to get the church's attention first and foremost, to tell us, listen, my son Jesus is on his way back, and I need the church to line back up with the principles and the concepts of my word, which is loving one another unconditionally as you love the Lord, and interceding and crying out on behalf of somebody else and evangelizing this world, and stop putting on all these shows at church, entertaining at church, and get back to causing and teaching the word that promotes transformation for people, that leads to a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Hey, man, I just want to quickly respond and just say 85% of the people who are in the ICUs today are unvaccinated.
Facts.
That's not me making that up. That's facts. 85% of the people who are unvaccinated are in the hospital in ICU with this Omicron variant. What we know is that vaccines have been a part of medicine. Let me thank God for Henrietta Lacks up in here.
Amen.
Vaccines have been a part of medicine for the last 70, 80 years in the country and in the world.
Amen.
When our children are born, they get vaccinated against all types of diseases and things of that nature. When we travel to certain countries, when I had to travel to Africa, they made me take a yellow fever shot. Why? Because that reason, if you don't have the vaccine against that, you're likely to get the yellow fever. I think it's just been too politicized. I really, really do.
Absolutely.
When we go to Scripture, again, Scripture is our guide. God tells Noah, tells Moses, Moses, I'm getting ready to bring the people out. This last plague I'm bringing, there's a lot of plagues I already sent.
Don't do it, Tom. Don't do it, Tom.
My brother said, a lot of plagues I already sent, but this last plague, what I want you to do is I want you to take your blood and put it over the doorpost of the children of Israel.
Come on,
and when
man.
I release
Come
the
on.
Death angel, when that angel goes
mm-hmm.
out, I'm going to cover the children of Israel.
Yeah.
God allowed this vaccine to be manufactured at the time it was manufactured. We have not seen long-term ill effects. Some people have sensitivities to the vaccine and can't take it, just like other vaccines and things of that nature. There's immune things, reasons that they can't take it. That's a minimum amount of people. But by and large, there have not been many adverse. We just had three African soccer players who took the vaccine, and they had some heart issues, okay? But by and large, we have not seen this vaccine cause severe illness, death, and we haven't seen it, by and large, harm people. So we gotta start telling the truth. And
Amen.
Not letting these false narratives navigate and dominate our pulpits. We got to stop.
Amen. Excellent.
I also think that so there are various outcomes to various decisions, right? 85% of the people being hospitalized in ICU today are people who have not been vaccinated. To know what is the percentage of those people who, because even though they're not vaccinated, they recover and go on to live their life as normal like they did before. I would be interested
Amen.
In knowing out of the 15% of the people who are left that are vaccinated, how many of them pass. See, numbers are important when put in the right perspective, right?
So to say
that 85% of and this is not me like put using it as a rebuttal, but when I see statistics thrown out, I question them not because I don't believe them, but because I think more information is needed, right? So 85%. Are being hospitalized. Out of that 85%, how many of them pass and how many of them recover with no issues because they just have a great immune system and the immune system is working like it's supposed to?
That's another statistic that we can look at, and I agree. That's a whole other statistic. But I pointed out that 85% of the people who are in ICU with coronavirus right now, ICU, intensive care unit,
mm-hmm.
are unvaccinated. Now, some of them recover. A lot of them will recover. Some of them will not. So it is good to know that number. But I think that when we talk about natural immunity, a lot of that information is yet to be put out there. I think we need to see those numbers. But I would venture to say that the people who have gotten vaccinated, a large majority of them, if not, as my umbrella said, people are still getting the virus, but this vaccine is giving the immune system the awareness, antibodies, just like the flu shot, just like other vaccines, hepatitis, all these other things, to ward off the larger, long-term, harder effect of the virus. Those are facts we do know, is that vaccinated people are not having the adverse effects of unvaccinated people when it comes to this virus.
I was just going to say, I do agree with Brother Tom, agreeing with you, that, yes, we do need to know what the number is of those people who recover of the 85% that's in the ICU. That's it. That is a number that we do need to know. But what we do know, though, is this, that let me just take myself as an example. Like, if there's a scenario by which that I don't have to even end up in the ICU, because in most cases, a lot of those people that end up on that ventilator, the doctors will tell you, when you go on that ventilator, as my daughter's mother did, you generally usually don't come off that ventilator. So to me, if I can keep from going into ICU at all, or even in the hospital because I got vaccinated, to me that makes the better decision. But again, it's down to a personal decision for an individual. But I'm just not going to take that risk, and I wouldn't encourage somebody else to take a risk of being not just hospitalized, but ending up in the ICU with a greater chance of not having to come off that ventilator. Yes, do some people come off of it? Yes. Do some people in ICU go home and they're fine? Yes. But the question then becomes, if 85% of people who have not been vaccinated end up in ICU, then the greater majority of them more than likely are not coming. You know, it's a greater chance they're not going to make it back out versus the people that end up being vaccinated. So to me, it becomes a no-brainer. I'm going to increase my odds by taking this vaccination, because I don't even want to go to the hospital, or I don't even want to be in ICU. And so, yeah, do we need to know the flip side? We do. We need to know all the statistics. And I'll take it even a step further. We need to be able to know them to a point where it's not just the news telling us. You know, we do need to know. So, you know, I think your point is valid, Brother Manning. But
I also think that we know information that we are told, right?
Absolutely.
And so you made a statement about the 85%, as far as being in ICU. More than likely, once they go on those ventilators. Well, we don't know that there's certain things about the 85% that we don't know. And that's why to harp on any of this with you, Tom, but I'm just saying.
I give you
an example. They would flash the number of cases, new cases of virus on the TV. And they would flash the number of people who died out of that number. But they never flashed the number of people who recovered and are doing just fine.
That's true.
And so my whole point is I have a problem with, you see, I'm a math person. And so when you put numbers out there for me, I need to know what the numbers mean, what the reality of the numbers are. You can tell me that 85% of the cases are people who are not vaccinated. Percentage of the people who are vaccinated, how many of them died? Also tell me the number of people who recovered that weren't vaccinated, so that I can make an informed decision. You can't make an informed decision out of fear. And this is why I wanted to do this broadcast, because a lot of people in the church are making a decision out of fear. Not because of sound science, or not because of gospel coming from the word. They're making the decision out of fear. And this leads me into my next topic, church attendance. I read somewhere that the church attendance is down across the board 22%, and in some areas, even as high as 40%. Because of, they label that because of COVID. And more people are you know, in place of physical, you know, attendance, they're doing virtual. And so because we have the vaccines now, you would think that those numbers would start to decline and wouldn't be as high. Do you think this has more to do with the vaccine, more to do with each individual person's walk, the Lord? Maybe some people are church hopping. Maybe some people have issue with the pastor or whatever it is. It's a fact. The statistics say that church attendance is down. I'd like your opinion on that, and I'm going to start with Brother Tom.
Well, and I guess you're leaning into, is this a fear thing? You know, early on in the pandemic, I was I was broken by a statement made by a local leader that I know. She mentioned to, this was probably in the month of August of 2020 when church, when we won't reopen our church, somewhere in August or September, I don't remember exactly when we first were allowed to come back and congregate with social distance measures. The person made a statement and just said, you know, this lady brought her tithes in, and she had been holding on to her tithes, had not been around the church for about 5 or 6 months. Older, in her 70s, you know, early 70s, her husband. And she said her husband, you know, told her, hey, you know, I don't want you going to the church. There's a crowd of people there. And I just think it's wisdom for you to stay home. You got some underlying conditions, this and the other. And that leader told that woman, well, your husband has a lack of faith. And he's not a Christian. So, and I have a deeper question. Do you think that was wisdom on the part of that leader to say that to that woman? I don't think that we need to confuse wisdom with fear.
Yeah.
If you have a church of 1,000 people, okay, and you can afford to, and you have the capacity in the room to properly social distance, okay, and you can spread out, you know, people. I watched a lot of pastors use wisdom. I watched one pastor who has a church of about 3,000. He went to 3 services because some people need that connection. They still, you know, they need that connection. He went to 3 services, and those services were socially distant. So he took more of the weight on to encourage the people of God, and they socially distant. The reality is that we know the virus is spread by contact, close measures, it's in the atmosphere, it's in the air. Nobody can detect where they're getting the virus from. You know, some people get the virus at work and come to church with it. We just don't know. I just think that we don't need to confuse fear with wisdom. I think that there are some people who are afraid, okay? That's a reality. But I'm not the pastor to bash people who are afraid to congregate right now. I'm just not. That's just not me. I don't think that's the right way to approach it, and that's just my opinion.
Amen. Well, what do you think? You think some people are just using COVID as an excuse not to come to church?
I do, and not because I'm a pastor. I do because some of the same people I see on cruises, some of the same people I see at the Walmart, some of the same people I see at their relatives' houses. So I'm confused about their confusion. And so, yes, do I believe there's some people who just don't know and there's a level of fear? I believe that wholeheartedly, that there's a segment of the body who actually, through no fault of their own, probably more due to the lack of teaching by their pastor, who just don't genuinely know. And so they're unsure. And to Pastor Tom's point, the church needs to create an atmosphere. We're responsible for creating a safe space for people to come back to church, because there's something that happens at church that's just not going to happen in your house. If church attendance, if being together and under the banner of being at church wasn't important, God wouldn't have told us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves. He would have not told us not to come together. But he tells us to come together in his word. And he didn't say come together unless there's a pandemic. But that's where, when people want to throw around the word wisdom, wisdom is how do we safely, socially distance in church? Like right now, it's not many of us, but I have enough space in the place that I'm at where we can be socially distanced. We have hand sanitizer. We have disinfectant. We have a thermometer. We take temperatures. Because guess what? If people are going to work, and they are, if people are going on vacation, and they are, then why can't we go to church? And so this narrative is being set up for the ushering in of the great falling away. That's all this is. And pastors need to understand the time that we're living in and begin to reach out to as many souls as we possibly can and encourage them to come and know Christ. Because let me tell you something, bro. Yes, right now we're dealing with the effects of COVID-19, but there's something else on the horizon that's soon to hit the United States that's going to be even worse. And so I'm not saying that to make anybody fearful. It's just what the Bible is teaching us. But at the end of the day, not going to church is not the answer. And so, and I'm sure Tom may know this already, and you may even know, Brother Manny, not only are people not going to church, but people are getting screen fatigue. People are tired of looking at social media, looking at church. They've been at home watching screens, whether it's a tablet or a phone. There's a church that I'm affiliated with in Chicago. And when they were just doing a social media church, there were like 6 to 7 people out of about a 40 to 50 membership that was logging on. People don't just want to see it that way anymore. They're tired of it. And so to Brother Tom's point, to my twin's point, we must, as pastors, responsibly articulate to the members, it's safe to be in this space. And you can come to church, and you don't have to worry about the transmission of the COVID here at church. But there's an urgency for hearing and knowing God's word and hearing the voice of God, because that's what we need to heed. Not political pundits, not news anchors spinning the social political agenda of the day. We don't need any of that. We need a word from God, and we need to be in the place and get it.
That's so true. I want to quickly add that, you know, Pastor, I've been to, prior in the last couple months, several of my associate churches within my organization.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Not one required people to wear masks. not one was pressing for social distancing. You see what I'm saying? So when I talk about wisdom, that's what I'm talking about. Why are we not creating why do we take our feet off the gas as a church?
And
stop mandating masks? Why are churches like not having social distancing? I heard a pastor make that comment you made, like, hey man, I've seen some people at Walmart, but pastor out of Chicago, I know him very, very well. Good friend of mine, got raised up with him in the ministry. But his church is packed wall to wall every single Sunday. They packed in there like sardines in the can.
Yeah.
And he was talking about, oh, I've seen some of y'all at Walmart. Y'all can come to church. But people in his church with no masks on. Okay.
Wow.
And going through the aisle of Walmart where you got 20 air changes per hour on the AC unit that you don't have in most churches. And then also when these people are in the church, you get a black preacher preaching, and we're going, brother.
Yeah.
Most of these people preaching sermons 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
And that's just the sermon. That's not counting worship.
Yep.
That's not counting, you know, the other experiences that happen in church, you know, all these other different ministries. Then we got children. Mm-hmm. People have children to worry about. I mean, I have a newborn right now.
Yep.
You think I want to leave my newborn in our church's nursery right now? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's just such a press for all of us to think about how we do it, and I think that each individual ministry has got to cater and have a safety plan in place and
Absolutely.
Like do something different in this season that will make people
Absolutely.
Feel safe walking into the house of God. That's all I'm saying.
Amen.
When we're there, especially in the black community, when we
Amen.
Walk in church, our church on average is a 2 to 3 hour experience.
Amen.
Versus white churches, they're 60 to 90 minutes. Our churches are 90 minutes to 3 hours. So mm-hmm. so we gotta think about these types of things.
Amen, brother. I'm glad that you mentioned that, and congratulations on the newborn, by the way. I've been meaning to tell you that I saw one of your lives. Yeah, congratulations. I saw one of your lives where you had her on there. She was praying with you. Amen.
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 She was
start
praying
off
with
early.
You. Starting her young. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir. So kind of wrapping this up, a thought process that we're nearing the end of this particular, trial or whatever you want to call it, the pandemic, the virus or, you know, whatever you like to name it. I believe that we are toward the end of this particular point
mm-hmm.
in it. I think it's going to begin to fizzle out. I think you'll see less and less people start to get infected. And I think by
Amen.
The time the spring breaks in the summer, we'll hear less and less about it. And then the politicians will be on to the next talking point, getting ready for the next election. But I will ask this final question
Amen.
To the both of you. In light of everything that has happened over the last year and a half and going into this second year, as we begin to come out of this, what is the message to the church moving forward? Is it the same old message before as before? Or is there a new mandate? Is there a new voice, a new message that we should be really crying out loud with to the people, not just the believers, but the non-believers as well? What is it that's changed? Has this changed our message? Has it, caused us to be more on point, or should I say fervent, or you guys understand what I'm asking? Like, has it lit a fire?
Yeah,
I do. Say, okay, this message has got to be, like, it's now or never. We're behind. We got to go now, put our pedal to the metal. I mean, I would really like to know what that message is, and how should the church world be delivering it in such a way that it not only gets across to the believers, but also non-believers. I'm going to start with you, Pastor Tom.
Man, you know, my twin said it earlier. Here's the interesting thing about the pandemic that the church should ask themselves. Who are we?
Mm-hmm. And,
what is our mission?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think that the message to the church in all of this is that the Lord is trying to resubmit the church to its foundation.
That's right.
And that's getting back to the Missio Dei, the mission of God. What is the mission of God? Why did he send Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
In order to redeem man and himself. And God has left us, the body of Christ, to do the work in the earth. When Jesus left, he left the Holy Spirit for us to do the work in the earth. And if our righteousness and if our mission and if our call fails because we don't have a building on Sunday morning, we are not the church.
Amen.
Those buildings are the church. And
mm-hmm.
I think God's trying to send a clear message that if your building is the church, then who are you?
Amen.
And that's plain and simple. God is trying to realign the church with his mission. If your church doors were closed and you didn't mobilize your church to serve, something is wrong.
Amen.
We were able to mobilize early in the pandemic. We served in the pandemic as a church that was just starting. We served in the pandemic homeless communities, serving people in communities that needed food, families that lost their jobs, didn't have anywhere to go. We gave three families a week groceries. I'm not boasting anything, but I'm trying to tell you that there is so much church needs to be doing and leading in community. And we have been an inward church, and God has tried to use this pandemic to wake us up. Unfortunately, some people, some leaders, and some churches, they're going to go back to business as usual, and they're going to miss the harvest. I'm just going to say it like that.
Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good. Thank you, Brother Tom. Would you like to leave the listeners with any information of any broadcasts? I know you come on normally during the day now. I don't know if that's because, you know, you have the baby, but if you want to give them information on where they can tune in to see you and hear you speak, please do so.
Yeah. Sundays at 8 a.m. On our Facebook Live and YouTube, and then also Monday through Friday we're doing a noon prayer. Wednesday night we do teaching. We're using the Union Gospel Press to do our Sunday morning Sunday school lessons. We're doing those on Wednesday nights. Just teaching from that very good lesson plans in the Union Gospel Press. So visit thefruitchurch.org. A lot of news coming up. September 18th is our date to go back into the building. So we'll be worshiping again face-to-face in the community center starting on September 18th of this year. And that's Harrison Community Center, 503 North Irving in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Amen. FruitChurch.org. I heard it. Thank you so much, Pastor Tom. I really appreciate you tuning in and providing the listeners with all that good information and good wisdom. I always love it when you and Rev are on at the same time. It's like, man, it's so powerful. I really appreciate it.
Amen.
Rev, I'll give you the final word here.
Amen. Listen, Brother Tom hit it on the head. You know, I really believe the church used to be the sense by which there was Bible taught, but political issues were addressed, life issues were addressed, and it used to be that way back in the old days. It really did. And so when you went to church, you really got a whole picture of how you should live your life spiritually, naturally, the whole nine yards. And we have gotten away from that because we've allowed the devil to creep into the church, and the church has become more about the pastor and less about the teaching of God's word and the evangelizing of lost souls. And so we need to get back to, I believe my brother, my twin was not saying that there's not a necessity for the building. It's just not
where we stay. And so Jesus spent time in the synagogue, but he spent more time outside of the synagogue. And so we must find ourselves coming to the building, coming together on one accord, studying and knowing God's word, receiving power from the word and from the Holy Ghost. And then we must go out into this world and be the examples of what righteousness is in every arena of our lives. Paul teaches us in Romans 12:2 to not be conformed to this world. And so the church has to stop conforming to the world, and we must set an example for the world that they must conform to and transform so that they can be a part of the great amen catching away when Jesus does finally return. And so that's my 2 cents. Actually, that's my 3 cents. And I just thank you for this opportunity, Brother Manny. I always love being on with my twin. A very knowledgeable brother, just like yourself, Brother Manny, very knowledgeable. So this is a blessing, and I thank you that you brought it back, Brother Manny.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. That's Pastor Joseph C. Murphy again of the Caring Church of Memphis, which we have. You guys are currently meeting, right, Pastor, in Memphis, but we also have a presence on Facebook, Caring Church Memphis Facebook page, every Sunday morning,
Amen.
10 a.m. Central Standard Time. The word is brought forth. We also have prayer. We do a prayer line also, and you mm-hmm. can look for the information on the Caring Church Caring Church Memphis Facebook page for that prayer line. We pray Mondays at 8:15 p.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to join us at that time, okay? I will be posting that number on Facebook when we get off in case you want to join us tonight. But other than that, I'd like to thank you on behalf of Pastor Tom Lyon of the Fruit Church Minneapolis, Pastor Joseph C. Murphy of the Caring Church of Memphis, and I'm Brother Manny. I'm glad we brought this back. Tune in next Monday and look on Facebook, as I said, God's Word to Man, for the information on what the topic is going to be next Monday night. Listen, God bless you. God keep you. Our prayers that you and your family stay safe. And until next time, we love you. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, brother.
God bless y'all. Amen.
Made my bed right on the floor. The enemy.